Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, all you wonderful, wonderful F1 fans out there, not only around the world, but here in the home base in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. If you're hearing my voice, it can only mean two things. One, that my name is Kelsey, and two, you are listening to the newest edition of F101. Now, normally we would have the hot topics for what everything you need to know in the world of F1. But seeing as how this is a very special episode, it is a two-parter. We are doing the mid-season breakdown. So we will be covering everything that you do need to know, everything that you've heard, all the rumors that we're going to disconnect you from, anything that you need to actually know, but in the breakdown of the teams. Now, the format I'll be doing this, I'll be covering all 10 teams, but I'm going to be starting from the 10th to the 1st. This first half will cover the top four or the bottom four teams, and then after that, we'll be covering the top five teams from there. So let's get right into it. My first team that we're covering in number 10, it is the Kick Sauber team, 0 points so far this season. Drivers Valtteri Bottas and Zhou Guanyu, their 2025 driver lineup so far is Nico Hülkenberg and to be determined. There's a couple of names that are going around that may or may not be associated with this team. Some voices or some team, some names like Mick Schumacher, as well as the teams like names like Logan Sargeant. But this is all coming during the silly season, you know, foo-for-all. Now, those of you who don't know what silly season is, essentially what it is it's the time off of the mid-season break where pretty much any rumor that has been going around for the beginning of the season or that might happen in the second half of the season just gets thrown out there in space just to see kind of what sticks. A lot of it is absolute BS, but occasionally some pieces here and there are true. This one has not been confirmed either way. Personally, I would like to see Kick Sauber not go with anybody that's on the top 10 or that's in the grid right now. I want to see somebody brought up from F2, someone that's been hiding in the wings. I mean, okay, that would mean hiding in the wings would be a Mick Schumacher. Granted, he's not in F2 anymore, but he did only have a one season stint with Haas. I think there's some potential there. He needs to get his feet back on the ground. He needs to get his butt in his seat again. I think Kick Sauber was the best place to go. Getting back to Kick, the beginning of their season kind of... it started off really, really exciting. They had a really good reveal. The car looked great. All of a sudden, we got this new name. It's no longer just Sauber. It's no longer Alfa Romeo. It is now Kick Steak Team instead. Now, this started off the very first controversy of this team, even before they started, just because one of the two names, the Steak, is actually an online gambling site. Now, a lot of these countries that we go driving in, especially in Europe, in the Middle East, they don't support any kind of alcohol. They don't support any kind of gambling, anything like that, which means sponsorship names cannot appear on their car. So what are you going to do? This team had to make a decision where even though Kick was the second name and the owner of Kick Broadcasting, it's an internet like broadcasting streaming site where they would team up with Stake and they would show online gambling. Even though that Kick wasn't the primary holder of the sponsorship name, they're getting more airtime than anybody else. It is now officially known as the Kick Sauber team. Stake even isn't even broadcasted anymore. So starting right off the bat, this team was not set for a good, not really set for a good announcement, not really set for a good start. The 24 season for this very first half, it's been, let's call it embarrassing, to be honest. They haven't had a whole lot of success. They haven't had a whole lot of points. In fact, they don't have any points whatsoever. And this is not exactly, I think, what Valtteri Bottas was thinking of when he wanted a challenge when he left Mercedes. Now, granted, Sauber wasn't exactly, scorching up the point charts and making anybody else nervous, but at least they were further ahead than Kick Sauber was. And with the addition of Zhou Guanyu, an up-and-coming, very excitable driver, you would think that they would be having a very fantastic time. But what Kick has actually ended up doing is they've kind of under-upgraded themselves. The upgrades they have brought so far in the first half of the season has literally done sweet fuck all. It's kind of like they don't know what they're doing, because in 2026, these guys will no longer exist anyways, and they're being bought out by Audi. So what are you doing? It looks like the first half of the season and probably the next half of the season and for the next year and a half, all they're going to do is just kind of tread water. They're going to take up two seats on the grid. They're going to suck. And essentially what they're going to do is they're going to show Audi what not to do. And whatever they do gain, you know, in a positive atmosphere, Audi's going to take anyways in 2 years in 2026, and they're going to enhance upon that. So Sauber is in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. They've taken two really good drivers, one that has a very, very promising future, and one who deserves to be in a much faster car than he is, make look ridiculously dumb. Like, they haven't been able to outdrive the car, and by that I mean they haven't been able to make that car perform better than it should, because this car is so incredibly bad and so incredibly slow. It's embarrassing. This team shouldn't even be on the grid as of right now, even if they're just collecting information for, you know, the rest of the 2024 and 2025 season for Audi. These drivers deserve to be in a better car. They deserve to be, you know, be able to get points. For the rest of the season, Kick Sauber is just going to kind of disappear. It's going to be a little bit of a whimper. They're not going to do anything spectacular at all. Bottas sometimes flirts with a top 10 position in qualifying, never in the race. Anytime they do have a half decent race, they're still nowhere close to points. It's just very, very embarrassing. So what do I see for the second half of Sauber, for the second half of the year for Sauber? I see them doing the exact same thing as they have the first season or first half. Their upgrades are going to get a little better because you honestly can't go any further backwards than they are already. So they can only move forward, but it's not going to be enough for them to challenge absolutely anybody in the points. Yes, Williams is only 4 points ahead of them, but Williams is more on a trend to get more points in the later part of the season than Sauber is to get any points in the first half of the season. If Sauber does get points in the second half of the season, it's because there's been a massive crash. People can't finish their race and they're just taking advantages of it. The only thing that I hope comes from this situation is that teams next year will look at Bottas and Zhou Guanyu and not necessarily have sympathy for them, but realize they're doing the best with what they've got. I'm really hoping that, let's say, you know, Williams is full already. Maybe Bottas goes back to Mercedes to fill in that second seat. Maybe Zhou Guanyu finds his feet in Alpine, something along that line. I really hope these two drivers actually find a seat for the 2025 season, because it would be a disaster. It would be a catastrophe for them not to find a seat just because the team they drive in sucks that bad. Moving on to the number 9 position, Williams. So far in the 2024 season, they've got 4 points. Their drivers are Alex Albon and Logan Sargeant. Their 2025 driver lineup is Alex Albon. And officially, now this came out a little bit before the silly season started, before the rumors persisted, but yes, Carlos Sainz is officially a Williams driver come 2025. He did officially find a seat, which is great for him. Even better for Williams, in my opinion. I do think that Sainz is taking this seat just because it's not that he didn't have anywhere else to go. It's only a multi-year contract. So it will expire around the time that all of a sudden Audi comes in. He needed somewhere to drive for the foreseeable future until Audi came in. I think he's going to be a very quick rotation through Williams. He's going to end up going to Audi and leave them again kind of in the lurch with Alex Albon as their only head driver. But back to Williams. The beginning of the season, they started off relatively strong, as much as Williams can. They did kind of fall behind. They started on the back foot. They're going to finish on the back foot. And the only reason why I say this, it's not because both of their drivers are lackluster, but we'll get into that in a second. Albon is an amazing driver. Their development is very calculated. It's very straightforward. They know what they need. They haven't quite gotten what they needed from their upgrades yet, but they're heading in the right direction. The only issue for Williams is that when they upgrade, as does everybody else, and their upgrade package, when you start behind, you're going to continue to be behind. Williams may have a fantastic upgrade package for the second half of the season. So does the rest of the other teams on the grid. So it's not that they have a horrible car. They just have a car that's so far developmentally behind at the beginning of the season that they're kind of damned if they do and they damned if they don't. hopefully they'll be able to pick up a few more points. They're not that far behind Alpine. They can absolutely catch them in the standings. In my opinion, they could even absolutely catch Haas by the end of the season. They could jump a couple of spots in the Constructors' Championships. It's just when they upgrade, so does everybody else. Now let's talk about their drivers. Alex Albon has signed a 2-year contract extension. It will finish at the end of 2026. But this season, Albon has absolutely proven himself to be the number one driver in Williams. From the end of last season to where we are this season already, you can tell that he has grown exponentially in his understanding of the sport, what he needs to bring to the sport, what he needs from the car, and how to communicate everything all together. When you hear his communication with his engineers, when he has his media time, he is much more confident in what he's talking about. He's much more knowledgeable in what he's talking about, which is why he signed his extension, which I do think is a great thing for Williams. The only thing, in my opinion, unless he has a lackluster year and a half in Williams, I think he's stuck there. Because he did go through the Red Bull gauntlet, although it would be a very short one, he didn't make the main team there, no fault of his own. He needed time to grow up. Williams is his time to grow up. But is everyone now just going to look at him as a Williams driver? Or are they going to be able to look at Alex Albon and go, he is a legitimate F1 contender in a different car? I don't know if they'll be able to separate him from Williams at this point, or even at the end of 2026. I think he's kind of signed his own death certificate in Formula One, as it were, signing with Williams for an extended contract. Now, the only way I see him out of this is if he follows Carlos Sainz and they both go to Audi for 2026. But unless Alex Albon in the next year and a half gets a car from Williams that is drastically better than Alpine, drastically better than Haas, and drastically better than the rest of the mid-team groups, I think he's going to start and finish his career officially in Williams. Now, moving on to the second driver, obviously we've got Logan Sargeant. He, okay rookie season, he scored some points. This season, absolutely 100% catastrophe from beginning to end. His 2024 campaign so far, and this is just the first half of the season, he has finished last two times. He's DNF'd twice. He's finished 17th five times. 19th one, 15th one, 14th one, 11th one. That's his highest to date, is 11th. Still 100% out of the points. Granted, Williams only has 4 points, but those have come from Alex Albon, one of which was the fastest lap. He didn't even have to score points, but he was close enough to get that point. Logan Sargeant, in my opinion, for this team in the second half, Williams needs to replace him. Get rid of Sargeant. Just, you don't need him for the rest of the season. As of right now, Logan Sargeant does not have a seat for the 2025 season. I do not expect him to sign a seat for the 2025 season. I expect to see him to go to IndyCar, where I think it's more of a, it's an easier fit for him. It's a little less complicated for him. Get his racecraft underway, help him out a little bit more. Where do I see Williams going in the second half of the season? I see a consistent growth. I do see them catching Alpine and catching Haas in the Constructors' Championships. I mean, that's 21-point swing for Williams. I do think that it's not going to be that Alpine and Haas get worse. I do believe that they've peaked right now, and Williams is just going to get better and better. Val's the race director of the team. He knows the direction he wants the team to go. They're taking the very meticulous upgrade route, which is going to benefit them rather than hurt them for the second half of the season. So expect Williams to climb the ranks, get a few more constructors points, catch on Albon to get a lot more points. Logan Sargeant, top 10 finish if he sticks around, no more than once. In eighth spot, we are talking about Alpine. 10 points. Their drivers for the 2024 season is Gasly and Ocon. The 2025 season, they have Pierre Gasly. Esteban Ocon is no longer with the Alpine driver team, and thank God they need to get rid of him. He is one of the detriments of this team. Beginning half of the season, Alpine did not finish strongly in the 2023 season. They also did not start the 2024 season in a very particularly strong spot either. This team has been just beaten down with staff leaving, with, you know, more investors coming in that say they believe in them and them not being able to fulfill that fulfill that performance rating that they need to. The drivers still hate each other. The drivers still fight against each other. And it's, they can't get out of their own way, essentially, is what it is. If they had, in my opinion, and don't forget, I've never driven Formula One. I am not involved in Formula One in any way. But from what I've been able to see and what I've been able to ascertain and learn, get drivers that cooperate, get a team that has proper leadership, and stop giving promises. Let the team work the way they need to. For a while, they had a 100-race plan. Then all of a sudden, they had a 5-year plan. And they had these public plans they keep putting out, is these promises that just definitely do not deliver. One of them, 100-year plan or 100-race plan, we're going to be at the top. We're going to be competing for the Constructors' Championship and the Drivers' Championship. Well, that's 5-year plan, and where they were headed in the direction obviously was not going to be realistic. So why the team let the team, why the executives let the team make this kind of promise, I just don't understand. First half of the season, both of these drivers have had more contact with each other than anybody else on the circuit. It is widely known that Esteban Ocon and Pierre Gasly do not get along. So instead of having clear team messages going, don't race each other, whoever's ahead is ahead, like, you know, don't contact each other, don't anything like this, they just kind of let them drive against each other. Yes, I know it's competition. Yes, I know it's racing, but you still want to get points. And when one car DNFs because the other team car hits them, it doesn't make any sense. When you're costing your team money because you end up hitting your other driver on your team, obviously something is 100% wrong. They've had mechanical issues. They've had power unit failures. They've had just so many issues, so many senior teams senior teammates leaving. It's just one of those embarrassing things where sooner or later, something is going to have to end. And it has been officially announced. And yes, I did look into it, even though it was announced during the silly season at the very beginning of the break. Renault engines will no longer be in F1 at the end of the 2026 season. Now, this is not the first time Renault has been out. They've also left Formula One once or twice. Same with Alpine as well. Renault, they're a car manufacturer first. They're an engine producer second. They wanted a French team 100% from start to finish, which is fine. But when one of these companies is not holding up their end, it makes things a lot harder. And obviously the Renault engine units were just not holding up. There's more issues with them than any other power unit on the grid in the history of Formula One. So, like I said, Renault will be officially leaving Formula One at the end of the 2025, beginning of 2026 season. So Alpine will be shopping out their power units. They will be buying from Mercedes. They'll also be buying the rear end suspension and the gearbox as well. And that's even if Alpine sticks around that long. They've been looking for other investors. It kind of sounds like they've been looking to get bought out officially. They don't want to do this anymore. No matter how many big name investors they have, no matter how much publicity they have, anything like that, it just does not seem to help the team. And there's even been massive, massive rumors that the Alpine F1 team itself will be dissolved as early as the beginning of the 2025 season, which would definitely open the doors for someone like Mario Andretti, the Andretti Corporation, to come in and actually buy the F1 team and just gut them from the inside out. I mean, Alpine's doing that already. They're not successful. All they do is infight. It's really, 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 really embarrassing. On top of that, BP, their oil and lube sponsor, has officially signed with Audi for 2026. They've been the longest running sponsor of Alpine, and even when they were the Renault racing team. So when their longest sponsor is starting to jump ship, you know this is not going to go very well. There has even been rumors that Esteban Ocon would be replaced for the second half of the season because he's going to Haas already. And hey, Alpine has figured, what can you lose? You swap out a driver, he's already leaving. What could possibly go wrong? They're second from the bottom anyways. Their first season trajectory was they peaked with 10 points. They've got a couple of 10 place finishes, which is great. But I think they've kind of hit their stride as bad as it is as of right now. What I see for Alpine for the second half of the season, I see more infighting. I see more staff members leaving, unfortunately. And as far as point-wise goes for the Constructors and for the Drivers' Championship, I see them gaining maybe 5 more points, maybe 10 at the absolute most. Alpine at this point, in my opinion, just can't wait for this season to be over so they can just move on and look forward to a hopefully a more successful season in 2025. Team number 7 in the 7th spot, we're talking Haas, 27 points. Their driver lineup is Nico Hülkenberg and Kevin Magnussen. Their 2025 driver lineup is Esteban Ocon and Nico Hülkenberg. Up until around about a week and a half ago, I did have to check into this quite a bit. Nico Hülkenberg has been replaced by Oliver Bearman. He is definitely an up-and-comer that deserved a seat. Unfortunately, he got it with Haas. Haas is kind of turning into the Ferrari playground, like, or the second team. So hopefully in the future, Ollie Bearman will make it back up into Ferrari. But as of right now, both Nico Hülkenberg and Ollie Bearman and Esteban Ocon are the drivers for the 2025 season. First half of the season for Haas was a very delightful surprise. It is the first season in many seasons that they don't have Günther Steiner as their team principal. Their new team principal was Komatsu. He was the chief engineer for many years under Steiner, so he knew how the team operated. He knows what the team needs. And it's been a very, very positive and a very quick turnaround for Haas. Haas is gaining points. Haas is not winning races by any stretch of the imagination, but they are proving that they are no longer a team to make fun of, and they are no longer a team that cannot keep up with everybody else. They're getting in the top 5 and the top 10 when it comes to qualifying. They're getting easily in the top 10, if not the top 7 when it comes to points. Their upgrades this first half of the season, it's been nothing super drastic, but it's been very, very effective. So they're looking at the smaller details. It's not so much the looks, the glitz and glamour of the upgrade of the car. It is more of the nitty gritty. This is what we need. It may not look fancy, but it's going to help us. They've got a fantastic team dynamic in the first half. Everybody is getting along, which is amazing. And they've got realistic expectations for the 2024 season. They knew they weren't going to be in the top of the grid. They also knew they weren't going to tell that, oh yeah, we're going to be so confident. We're going to be at the top of the grid. We're going to beat Red Bull and this and that. They had very much a very realistic outlook on what the season was going to be. And in my opinion, so far, the first half of the season, they have totally exceeded their expectations. Some of their upgrades hasn't exactly worked out for the best, but it hasn't been as detrimental as some of the teams ahead of them. VCAR and Aston Martin come to mind. They've also had big upgrades that have definitely negatively affected the car. In Haas's perspective, it has not done this for their car, so good job to them. Second half of the season, what do I see them doing? Even though they're not that far behind, I do believe that they will take 6th spot over VCAR. They've got that development cycle. They've got that trust in their drivers. They're on the right trajectory. As long as they don't upgrade themselves out of podium positions and out of points, I do see them gaining 6th in the Constructors' Championship. Coming in 6th spot, we've got the VCAR or Visa Cash App Red Bull Racing Team something. Who gives a shit at this point? 33 points so far this season. Driver lineup for this season is Yuki Tsunoda and Daniel Ricciardo. 2025 driver lineup, we are looking at Yuki Tsunoda only. I really, really want them to bring back Daniel Ricciardo. He's on the right trajectory to be super, super useful for VCAR. If they don't bring him back, other options, in my opinion, would be... Crickets. Mick Schumacher, maybe. Definitely not Logan Sargeant. You could definitely use a Nico Hülkenberg. He would be very, very useful as well. The pickings for VCAR is kind of on the slimmer side just because so many good drivers have already been taken. But Yuki Tsunoda, solid choice to keep for the next 2 years at least. Smart choice from them. I personally just want to see Daniel Ricciardo back in that seat. At the end of the 2023, beginning of 2024 season, VCAR was definitely on the upswing. Now, how big that swing was definitely yet to be determined. They had a bunch of new upgrades that were going to bring out for the 2024 season. They brought Daniel Ricciardo back from his injury, all that kind of fun stuff. So how big of a swing was the first season? Well, they are the surprise mid contenders of this year. They are where they should be point and developmental wise, but both drivers are definitely on the verge of much greater things. They both have that chip on their shoulder that they want to prove that they want to do the next step up, that they deserve to be in a higher than a mid-level car, in a mid-grid car. So they're definitely trying their damnedest. Yuki Tsunoda so far this season has definitely got his temper under control compared to last year. He's also got the oversteer and understeer definitely under control compared to last year. If Daniel Ricciardo can stay healthy and can stay mentally healthy, he is definitely a force to be reckoned with. He has left himself a big job the second half of the season to prove that he does deserve to come back for another season, either with VCAR or with another team. But both of these drivers, they can't get out of their own ways. When they have really good days, they're on top of the world. When they have mediocre even practices or mediocre qualifying, it just kind of spirals out of control for them. It doesn't necessarily help either that their upgrade packages that they've got are a whole lot to do about nothing. They look fantastic. They look like they should really add a lot of speed, a lot of downforce, and yet they kind of mid-grid deliver. Like, they've got these great, you know, for them, great upgrades, but so does Mercedes. So does, you know, everybody else. So they're kind of stuck in that middle section because they can't drive themselves out of that, and they can't upgrade themselves out of it. They're just, it's not as a cohesive team as you want them to be at this point. Now, you've got a driver that's settled so he can concentrate on his racing. You've got, at this point, a driver that's kind of freaking out and kind of knows that he needs to step it up. So now, in the second half of the season, don't be surprised if you see Daniel Ricciardo take bigger risks to prove to other teams and to VCAR and to himself that he can be the driver that everybody thought he was back in 2016, back in 2017 and 18. He wants to bring back that winning ways to his driving ability. I don't think that VCAR is the car for him to show his attributes and to show what he can actually do. I think he's kind of hamstrung by that, which may unfortunately lead to him not having a seat, at least with VCAR, for the 2025 season. Now, it would be absolutely catastrophe. If Daniel Ricciardo is not brought back into the fold for the 2025 season. Could he go to Alpine? Yeah, he potentially could. Would he thrive in Alpine? I don't think he would. I think that would be a definite detriment to his season, especially going to a team that doesn't know if it's coming or going, if they like their drivers, if they're going to stick around or not. You just really do not know at this point. But what can we look forward to for VCAR in the second half of the season? Well, if their second half is anything like their first half, they're going to score some major points, and they're going to score it quite easily as well. I do see them, and this is a wholehearted, I absolutely believe in them, I do see them passing Aston Martin for fifth in the Constructors' Championship. Now, they're definitely not going to go any higher than fifth because that point gap is just way too massive, but I do see VCAR showing the maturity and the upgrades finally coming in the second half of the season. Yuki Tsunoda will find his rhythm again. We will see the Daniel Ricciardo that we all know, that we all miss, that we all love, that will show that he can actually drive and he deserves to be in Formula One for the foreseeable future. And now we get to the fifth team. Number five, Aston Martin. 71 points so far in the 2024 season. Driver lineup is Fernando Alonso and Lance Stroll. The 2025 driver lineup is also Lance Stroll and Fernando Alonso. Now, Lance Stroll's contract is yet to be disclosed because, well, you know, when daddy owns the team, why not? Fernando Alonso is signed for a contract to at least 2026. So they got some time to measure or to fix what they have screwed up the first half of the season. And what have they screwed up the first half of the season? It is very easy to see they have out-upgraded themselves out of any kind of contention whatsoever. By that, I mean the car they had at the end of the 2023 season was a rocket ship. It was fantastic. They were on the right trajectory. They only needed a couple more fixes here and there. What do they go do in the 2024 season? They put in those little fixes. They get those early points. They're doing really, really well. And then they come out with another package. And then another package, and another package, and it's slowing the car down. So essentially what they need to do is they need to erase the last three upgrades, go back to what they were at the beginning of the season, and then start from there again. Is it going to be a waste of time and money? Absolutely. Do they need to do this? Absolutely. Absolutely, yes, they do. Because if they keep upgrading themselves in the way that they are, they're going to be passed quite easily. They're going to be in sixth in the constructors. Worst case scenario, all of a sudden they drop to seventh. Alpine catches them. VCAR catches them. Haas passes them. And they're on that trajectory to do that. Fernando Alonso has not always carried the entire team this season. Lance Stroll has finally decided that, yeah, he wants to drive and that he can get points. Now, I know I throw a lot of crap at Lance Stroll, but he is legitimately a good driver. Just when he decides to drive, then he can get the points. It just seems like he's not interested. It seems like, oh, I've got my spot secured. I don't have to do anything, and we're just going to go from there. It is not that kind of situation anymore. Aston Martin definitely needs Lance Stroll to pick it up and actually start putting some effort in. Going back to the upgrade package for Aston Martin, it's not like they're trying anything really big out of the box. They're trying to tweak the bigger things on the car from what we've seen, and this is what has set them back. Maybe for the second half of the season moving forward, they need to tweak the smaller things or do smaller upgrades throughout the year. There's no use doing a big flashy package if it just slows you down even more. What can we look forward to for the second half of the season for the Aston Martin? Well, in my opinion, if they don't pull their heads out of their asses, they will lose fifth spot to VCAR. Yes, VCAR has 33 points. Aston Martin has 71. But the trajectory that Aston Martin's going and the trajectory that VCAR is going, they are going to collide somewhere at the second half of the season. Lance Stroll, he needs to pick it up even more. If not, Fernando Alonso is going to continue to carry the team as best he can. He's going to outscore Lance Stroll, but it's not going to be enough. Will they bring out a bunch of upgrade packages for the second half of the season? Yes, they're going to, but I think it's going to be more aerodynamic in the smaller areas. It's going to look like a massive package, but what you actually see is three quarters of the upgrade package is the exact same as it was before, but the other rest of it is going to be what's new and improved. So it's going to be bigger yet smaller changes to help improve upon that. They're definitely not catching Mercedes. The gap is over 200 points in this case. They're not catching fourth. The worst that Aston Martin can do is lose fifth spot. But I don't see that happening very easily. But I do see that happening closer to the end of the season. So I'm hoping Aston Martin can finally find their upgrade feet again. Lance Stroll can drive a little bit better and help Fernando Alonso out a little bit more. Well, folks, that is the first half of the top 10 teams. We've covered the top five, what they've done so far this half of the 2024 season, and what we expect them to do in the later half of the 2024 season. Next half, episode two, we are officially going to crack into the top four, I guess, from fourth until first. So stay tuned for that.